We do have Corey Goldsworthy with us. He is with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources Fisheries. Thanks, Corey, for being here this morning.
Good morning, Katya.
So I have to say, I've noticed that there's not a lot of people fishing off the break wall these mornings, and I bet you have a lot you could tell us about state of the different fish in Lake Superior. What do you have for us?
Needed, and typically 50 degrees and rain signifies a good warm-up event. So I imagine by the end of this weekend, we'll start seeing more fish coming into the rivers.
Okay. It's surprising that the water is so cold, seeing as we really had no ice. I guess that's more about the temperatures in the spring than anything else, huh?
Yeah, those overnight temps just wouldn't break above freezing, and that's really what gets our fish run started here. But, you know, we're on the verge of it, and it comes every year. So we did have some really good fishing last fall, and we did some neat extra surveys out of our office here. And I'm sure some of the listeners may have heard, but we discovered a shoreline spawning coaster brook trout population in the Minnesota waters of Lake Superior, which is pretty rare. The only other shore spawning or shoal spawning brook trout population that we know of is Isle Royal. Hmm. So some pretty big news. You know, we've been working on coaster brook trout rehabilitation for 25 years now, and we really, the strain that we were stocking to assist with rehabilitation, Minnesota DNR wasn't, but other partners around the lake were, that strain, we really didn't have a lot of good feedback from, right? We didn't see them really show up in the fishery at all. We didn't see them spawning in the rivers at all. So this might be progeny of those stocked fish that are doing what they do at Isle Royal, because it's an Isle Royal strain that is stocked. Or it could be just Minnesota fish finding spots in the lake to spawn, because through all the genetic work that we've done with coaster brook trout over the past 2 or 3 years, we've found that there's not a lot of below barrier or below waterfall barrier reproduction going on with our fall spawning species, whether it's brook trout, coho, or chinook. You know, the below barrier reaches of our rivers here on the North Shore are pretty inhospitable places for young fish. They tend to get very low in the summer and get, you know, close to 80 degrees. And then in the winter, if there's not good rainfall in the fall, they'll freeze right to the bottom. So we think that's, you know, just habitat is kind of a big thing for us. And, you know, I'm sure our listeners have heard as well, or seen or witnessed, that rainfall has been quite odd.
Yeah.
To say the least, the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And we seem to be stuck in this drought flood cycle,
right,
where, you know, 2023 was a perfect example. We go through the winter setting, you know, the snow total record in Duluth. And here we are in our office saying it's going to be a good year for fish in the rivers. The aquifers are recharged. The swamps are full of water. And then we go from about May through September with a 7.5-inch deficit of rain.
Yeah.
So a huge drought period in there. And then all of our rain came at once in October. So the Knife River went from about 4 cubic feet per second of flow to over 8,000 cubic feet per second of flow.
Yeah.
In a matter of a few hours. And, you know, that just blows fish out of the rivers. That getting all your rain at once doesn't help fish. So, you know, we've seen the repercussions of that changing weather patterns. You know, our steelhead numbers at the Knife River trap are down about 80% from where they were 10 years ago. So, you know, we've got some work to do.
Yeah. Interesting to hear the effect of the drought flood syndrome on our fisheries. So I have a question I've been meaning to ask you ever since our last interview, which was quite a while ago, when you talked about a sort of the perfect storm for the coho spawning. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, and you said it would take 2 or 3 years or more for that to show, but we were going to have a heck of a season fishing the coho. Has that happened?
Yes, that did happen. We've broken the coho state record 3 times in the last few years, and it's all due to the big Cisco year class event in 2022 that occurred. Those juvenile Cisco are now you know, approaching their third year of life. They're about 10, 11 inches long. But for the past 2 years, every predator in Lake Superior has had full bellies. And especially with our non-native salmon Chinook cohos, we have seen them respond. They're really short-lived compared to lake trout. So Chinooks and cohos are like 3, 4, maybe 5 years old at the latest. So they live short lives, but they grow really fast. So they have to be eating constantly. Mm. Lake trout can live 20, 30, 40 plus years. So they don't have to eat all the time. Mm. But we saw that growth response in coho and Chinooks with, 12 pound cohos being caught. And around the lake, I have seen pictures and confirmation of 35 plus pound Chinook salmon being caught in Lake Superior, which is typically what they would catch in Lake Michigan. So we just never hear of Chinook salmon growing that big in Lake Superior because 95% of Chinook salmon's diet in Lake Michigan or in the ocean is alewife. That's like what they eat. Mm. And Lake Superior is just not an alewife lake. We're too cold, relatively unproductive. We just are not alewife waters. But with the warming water temperatures that we've seen over the past 10 years, our waters are becoming more hospitable to invasive species such as alewife, so don't count them out yet.
I was going to say, it sounds like the fish food chain has become this mix of invasive and non-invasive, all pretty much intertwined to the point where who even knows what's considered natural anymore, huh?
It has. And we're in a good spot in Lake Superior here now with this last Cisco recruitment event where our native prey fish outnumber our non-native prey fish. So our main non-native prey fish in Lake Superior is rainbow smelt. They pulled off a good year in 2022 as well, but the Cisco boom really overpowered that smelt boom. So, Lake Superior in general has maintained most of its native prey fish assemblage compared to the other Great Lakes. So, out of all the Great Lakes, it's great to be Lake Superior for sure.
Yeah, well, you'll get lots of agreement there, I'm sure, from listeners. I'm speaking with Corey Goldsworthy of Minnesota DNR Fisheries Department. Thank you so much. I hate to cut this short, but we do have to go. But it's a pleasure to hear you again, Corey, and I hope we have you again soon. Is there any last word you have for anyone who wants to go fishing out there this season?
It's going to warm up this weekend. Get out there and enjoy it. We've been waiting for it.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right. You take care, Corey.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Bye-bye. That was Corey Goldsworthy.